The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon,
it's good to see you all. It's good to be back in Kocho, huh? I missed you guys. Eh? Doesn't Our Lady look beautiful with her roses?
Yes.
Our Lady, our mother in spirit who loves us and wants nothing more than for us to know her Son. And so we, in a special way on this day, ask for her intercession. To intercede for us, to pray for us, so that we might get to know and to love her Son like she does. And it's also on this day, we here at Our Lady of Prompt Succor have decided that this is the day that we are going to remember our founding. We formally were established back in January, but usually people are a little busy in January with Christmas and whatnot, so we decided to do it today. On this day in which we can gather during the spring when it's not so cold, and to celebrate our history in concert with the diocese celebrating its 100th year. And so as we leave today, we will sing a special song written to commemorate that 100 years of the diocese being founded. So I would definitely encourage you to not leave Mass early, although that you normally don't do that, right? In Kocho, we don't leave Mass early, right? We all stay the whole time, right? Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're not like those other parishes, right? They leave early. We don't do that here. In Kocho, we all stay the whole time. And so I would definitely encourage you to stick around so we can pray and sing that song on the way out. And then afterwards, we're all going to have a nice potluck dinner in which we will recount some of the stories that have been our heritage here at Our Lady of Prompt Succor. And we will revel in that history. But today, though, I do want to say a little bit about our gospel. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I had a homily all ready to go. I really did. Very nice homily. It's going to be like the best homily ever. 100%. It's going to be awesome. But then something struck me in the last couple of days. And I feel like the Lord wants me to talk about this. And so this is what I want to talk about. And it starts with a question that you have to answer for yourself, that I have to answer for myself. And the question is simply, is this real for me? All this, Jesus, the church, the Eucharist, religion, all of this, is it real for me? I know sometimes we can kind of get caught up in the routine of going to church and, you know, even saying our prayers or just kind of going through it all. And sometimes we lose track of what's really going on. It starts to become routine. But is it real for you? This past week, I went to Lourdes, France. And there, I was able to accompany about 8,000 other people on this big pilgrimage from around the world who all gathered. And these 8,000 people were part of this special order called the Order of Malta. And one of their charisms or one of their duties is to help care for sick people. And so these 8,000 pilgrims from around the world brought about 500 sick people. And they would bring, they brought them, and it was, as you might imagine, very sick people have a lot of very heavy and burdensome needs that they carry with them. Crates of medicine, special wheelchairs, and like gurneys to be wheeled on. It's a tremendous undertaking that these 8,000 people sacrificed to make possible for these men and women. These men and women, and not all men and women, some children who are very sick with all forms of cancers and diseases, all were brought to Our Lady, to her grotto, and there they were allowed a moment to go and bathe in the waters and to receive spiritual and physical healing. I heard the story of a woman who, and just even thinking about it gives me chills, this woman 3 years prior was a sick person herself. She had all sorts of back problems. She couldn't walk. She weighed about 300 pounds because she hadn't walked in decades. And they had to have a special wheelchair for her. And she's telling me this story while I'm waiting in line to go have the bath myself. And this woman was the mother of a seminarian who would be ordained later that year, but her doctors told her that she would be lucky to live 6 more months. Her back issues were causing her all sorts of problems with her lungs and there were all sorts of infections that were always happening with her. And so she kind of had gotten to the point where she realized that her son was going to be ordained a deacon and she might not see it. And then the next year, her son would be ordained a priest, and she had almost no hope that she would be able to see that. And she had kind of gotten to the place in her life that she was okay with that. God's will be done. And so she's telling me this story while we're waiting. And she says, I was standing right over there, or sitting in the giant wheelchair right there. And she pointed to the spot where she was waiting to go. And she said she felt like Our Lady was beckoning her to go into the bath. And so she went into the baths, aided by her companions. And she goes into the baths, and she said that the first thing that came into her mind was that she said she thought it was amazing that they warmed the water up for her. She said the water was nice and warm for her. The water is not warm. From personal testimony, it's 18 degrees. It is 18 degrees. This is very cold water. But she said she thought it was nice that everybody warmed up for her. She gets in the water, struggling to get into the water after she got out of her wheelchair. And she goes down into the water, and she said she felt this amazing warmth go through her, all of her muscles into her body, and she stood up for the first time in a decade. And she walked out of the font, and she walked out of the font, she walked out of the baths, and she walked into the arms of Archbishop Glory, who was the chaplain, the big chaplain, and gave him the big hug, weeping. She took that wheelchair and she wheeled it herself in front of all these people who were just clapping and singing, and she brought it to like this room they have for old wheelchairs and crutches that people leave behind after they're healed. And she brought it, this is like a fancy American wheelchair, so it's like nice. And so she brought it in there and she threw it in there. It's real for her. And that was 3 years ago. And so now this woman was on the trip as a volunteer, helping other people receive the same grace that she did. And if you looked at her, you never would even guess that anything was ever wrong with her. She looks totally normal. And she saw her son's ordination to both the diaconate and the priesthood. This gospel is real for her. She understands that it's not routine, that our Lord is real, and His mercy and grace is real. Today, about 3 hours ago, I had a funeral at 1 o'clock. Or what time is it? 4, 3, 2, 0? Had a funeral for a young man named Brandon Bork. He was 24 years old. He was a Marine. And on the way home, right over here by Park Purdue, on Coteau Road, a woman pulled out in front of him, and he T-boned her right on the door, and he died almost instantly. The woman was texting and driving. Do not do that. Do not text and drive. It's a sin. It's a sin. It's a sin to text and drive. Do not do it. Put your phone in the console and don't look at it. In case you were wondering, it is a sin to text and drive. Anyway, so this poor man dies. He's 24 years old. I baptized his first child back there a year and a half ago. Eli was his name. And Carlin, his wife, was sitting right there in that pew while this funeral was going on today at 1 o'clock. Surrounded by, this entire church was more full at that funeral than it is right now. And we're saying these prayers, we're praying for the repose of soul of Brandon. And it's at that moment I realized that for these people, this is real. It means something. It means something very important to them. Because it's their only hope. It was her only hope. She's going to raise Eli, her son, without Brandon in her life anymore. This child is going to grow up without a father, or at least without his birth father. And that is a scary thought. And all of these things are going through her mind. And it was at that moment I realized that the only thing that's keeping her alive, the only thing that's keeping her somewhat sane, is the hope in the resurrection. That one day, when she dies, she will see him again. For her, this is real. It means something. It's everything to her. It's the only thing that she can hold on to. My dear friends, I don't know where you are today in your personal relationship with the Lord. I don't know. I know many of you, but I don't know all of you personally yet. But I hope with everything that I am that our Lord is real to you, that you've met Him, and that you've come to have hope in His resurrection and in His ascension, so that you will be ascended one day into heaven. I hope that's where you are. But if it's not, if you think all of this is just kind of a big show, you've just kind of been going through the motions for a long time, I want you to know that it's not a big show, that it's real, and that it changes people's lives. People are healed. People have hope because of this gospel, because of this church that He founded, that our Lord founded. Today at this Mass, I want all of you in a very special way to pray for Brandon, for the repose of his soul, and also for Carlin, his wife, for little Eli, the child, and for his family. I want you to pray for them in a very special way, but I also want you to have hope that this is not the last chapter of our lives. This is just temporary. And I hope when you make that prayer that you do so with
a real sense of hope, and not just going through the motions.
Today at this Mass, as we make this prayer, let us remember that all of this is real. Jesus is really present here in the Eucharist. He's truly here, and he wants to give us hope. Today, let us, like children, reach out to our Father, to our Lord, and have hope with him. Amen.